Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. Once again, here we go. It's another Monday afternoon, and I'm still plugging away at trying to be a good mom and also still do comedy in a way that is not lame. Yes, having a kid affects your... In fact, having a kid changes, I don't know, I can't speak to men, but having a kid as a woman changes some really core part of you that is like more, you know what I mean? Does that make any sense? Yeah, exactly. It changes a part of you, the part of you as a woman that's more like uncontained, you know, but not in the way that I thought it would. I thought it would make you like Miss Rachel, you know, you just become that. But you kind of do. Miss Rachel is, I don't know if you've heard of Ms. Rachel. Is what we're calling her, which she's kind of up there in years. So I guess she's an unmarried, what do we call her? Spinster mom. She's like a mom who doesn't feel like she has kids. She probably has kids, but for some reason, she feels like if AI put together all moms into a mom, like a mom type. It would be Miss Rachel, and it's like in that same way where it's like you just shove a bunch of data into a box and tell it to come up with something for you, and all the data is just, you know, it's a whole collection of human downloads, basically, or rather uploads to the internet, to the cloud, right, to whatever. Just human uploads of their take on what is worth recording about an experience. And this experience is mom. And then it spits out Ms. Rachel on the other side. So in a way, it's like AI is the mom of Ms. Rachel, who is the mom archetype. But like in this commodified brain rot way. That's what that shit pushes out. That's what all that shit, I think, is going to push out for a while, because I don't think people have caught up with the realization that, you know, the shit that you're pushing out into, you know, the shit that you upload to the internet is kind of one-sided, right? It's like what you think is important. And you leave out what you think is not important. So you're leaving out a lot of shit, actually. A lot of, like, the little things, the in-between things between the experiences, right, that you call experiences. But really, experience, one continuous thing. It never, there's no, like, cutoff, right? You don't cut it off like a... You know what I mean? Like you're cutting off a leg or something. Or like you're just... You can't segment your life because it doesn't segment, right? It just... It's continuous, undulating kind of thing. It's like it never starts or ends. It just is continuous. And having kids is a part of that, right? Because what's the difference between where you start... Where your experience ends and your kids begins, right? It kind of overlaps, and then your kids takes predominance if, you know, they're lucky enough to survive, right? And then they go on, and then they have kids, and then that experience kind of bleeds into somebody else's experience, right? Into their kids' experience. So, I'm getting way off here. Anyway, but what I'm saying is Ms. Rachel is like, you know, she's like a... I don't know. She feels like a, like, ominous, you know, like she's kind of creepy, actually. She's like a chimera masquerading as a mom. And I'm not saying she is that. I'm saying like her digital persona, right? Like what she has commodified for the screen feels like this artificial like computer generated idea of a mom. Like, it's not even something she brought up, came up with, like, from nature, right? From, like, natural observation. Like, this guy, Mr. Rogers. Like, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, they didn't have the internet, right? So they didn't have just some fucking gigantic database where you could just sit down and fucking view lots of videos of all the ways to be a nurturing man, you know, teaching lessons to kids. So he probably, you know, you have to go out into nature and watch it for yourself and then make notes and then come back. So you're actually, you know, it's like a slice of life thing that you're getting from around you, from observing. Like, you're the algorithm, and then you download it to yourself, and then you express what you have learned from what it means to be this kind of person. But Ms. Rachel, we're in an era where you actually don't go out and observe. You don't go out and observe, so you don't actually find for yourself the things that you think are interesting about types of people or experiences. You go on YouTube. Most of our experience now is an experience of an experience that was uploaded with the intention of having an audience. So that already changes shit already, because people don't act the same way when they don't think they're being recorded. They act completely different. Here's proof. You don't even act the same way on a phone call. Not that anybody does phone calls anymore, as you do on a video conference call. And that was something I read in Infinite Jest, okay? Humble brag. It's not even a brag. That book is fucking long as shit. And you should take no pride in reading that book because of how much time it takes to read and make sense of. You should take no pride in it. It's kind of like not being able to be proud necessarily of having a kid. Because it just happened to you, you know? Infinite Jest just happens to you. You read it and you get to a point and you're just like, ugh, fine, I guess I'll finish this fucking thing and figure out what the hell's going on. And that is having a kid. That is reading Infinite Jest. And there was a part in Infinite Jest where he talks about, David Foster Wallace talks about the experience of talking on the phone and how it changed when it became video conference calls. Because when you're talking on the phone with somebody, it's dark. There's like a comforting blank where you are calling on somebody on the phone and you get to pretend in your head, you have this unchallenged assumption that the person that's listening to you talk is completely into what you're talking about. Unquestionably, everything you're saying is super interesting, right? And you know, they're not clipping their toenails, they're not scratching their butts and smelling their farts or looking out the window. They're not daydreaming. They're listening to everything you say, and that person can make that assumption about you, even though you're probably clipping your toenails or looking at a picture or watching something on your laptop. So video conferencing changes all of that, changes the dynamic, right? Suddenly, you have to pretend that you're interested, but then the other person is also pretending, and then you're both uncomfortably aware of the fact that you know that the other one is pretending on some level. That's unfair. You shouldn't have to pay attention to that level. On that level, like, a video conference call isn't even like being in person. A video conference call is a completely different thing, because a video conference call, the camera is squarely on you no matter what. So you have this feeling that you're always under scrutiny. But when you're walking and talking with somebody in real life, it's kind of like a phone call. You can look away and pretend the person's listening, even though that person could be looking at a fucking dog or a baby or something cool, like an ice cream shop they didn't know was in this block and all that, right? So it's a different experience, and that's what when people upload videos is what I'm trying to say. You're uploading it with that fucking deranged idea that you're gonna be under scrutiny, like you're gonna be stared at and dissected, judged. When you film for an audience, you feel like when you film at all, the assumption is there's an audience. You're gonna be judged. You act different. When you are in the wild, just in a park, and the only thing you got to worry about with your kid are I don't know, pedophiles, creeps, somebody tries to kidnap your baby or some shit, you're more natural. You're doing things that you wouldn't do on camera, and those are the more interesting things because we don't see them that often. So to go out and watch somebody for real, you see way more, it's more rich and slower, and it's like honey, it's like molasses, right? The internet is like aspartame. It's not even like, it's like sugar at best, aspartame really most of the time. That's what we get, is like brain rot, drivel bullshit. So if you are Miss Rachel, you know, she feels like she only got her idea of a mom from watching videos of moms. People film themselves as moms for audience consumption, not like she went to a park, watched moms, paid attention to what it was like to be a mom, and then put together this persona. It seems like it's even her voice feels like it's calibrated rather than genuine completely. And I'm not saying she's not genuine. It's just, you know what I mean? It's different. Things are different now when you're on camera versus not on camera. And almost everybody's on camera. So we're not even the same humans we used to be. We're different. Man, I got really deep. What I'm saying is Miss Rachel is fucking weird and creepy to me. And it's weird. It's weirder that most people are just putting, they're just plunking their kids in front of a screen with this bitch. And you don't even know what that's going to do. You know, these are millennials too. And millennials, we're really on a high right now, on a high horse, complaining about boomers. And completely valid, by the way. Lots of valid criticism that a lot of boomer writers themselves were criticizing boomers for before they got old enough for people to not care about how young they were and therefore just judge and criticize them. Because that's what happens when you get older. Is nobody's enthralled. Nobody is under the spell of your youth anymore. And your youthful potential is stripped away, and all that's left is what you did in your life and what you are. And then that you're just naked in front of younger people mostly, because those are the only people that are fucking judgmental like that. And then they just see you for who you are. And that's what boomers are just kind of going through right now. And Hunter S. Thompson criticized boomers in the Las Vegas, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. And I don't know if anybody stressed that in the movie at the end. I think I watched the movie, but I don't remember them mentioning this part of the chapter, the last part where, you know, he talks about how it's fun to do drugs and all that and how fucking hilarious and crazed and deranged and terrifying and crazy it all was to do all these drugs in Vegas with this guy he was calling his lord. But at the end, he gives a really succinct and cutting and really incisive criticism about the boomers and about their, I forget the quote, but it was something like, we were trying to find God through a hit of acid or something like that, you know, and that's kind of boomers in a nutshell, is to think that you can commodify and be a consumer of something as intense as enlightenment, inner growth and all of that stuff, and virtue, basically, like virtue was in a pill and you could just take it and become, and that's the boomers, that's their issue. And that's why now they're on the other side of it, all fucked up. Some of them made some good investments, though. Not all boomers were just hippies doing drugs, so there's that. But they're just clueless. Boomers are just clueless fucks, and they're selfish, and all of those things I think tend to be true about a lot of boomers. But millennials are bitching about boomers just because, you know, they can't buy houses anymore. It's like, go on YouTube, there's all these videos about how to build. Go build a house on your boomer parents' lawn. Just do it. They're not gonna stop you. Go build a house on their fucking lawn. See what they're not gonna do anything. Just do like that primitive human guy does, and just build a underground bunker under your parents' house, and don't even tell them, hide it from them when they're gone on the weekends and their cruises or vacations or whatever rich boomers do, middle class, whatever. Go build a underground hut and don't tell them, and just live there. Why are you even They have the land, right? Use it. Use it. Who cares? Rent it. Airbnb it. Make money off of it. There's lots of stuff. But one thing that millennials are doing, man, millennials have bought into the technocrat shit, hook, line, and sinker. And by technocrat, I'm going to have to tell you because that's a buzzword and you don't even know what people mean anymore when they say words. But technocrat is like, basically, you think experts should run your whole life. Like, you think experts, it's like, follow the science. Like follow, listen to the science, obey the science. Like, science is your daddy. Science is your daddy, and you should listen to your daddy. Listen to daddy. And that's what millennials do. They listen, they follow the science, and that's kind of it. And they're going to, I don't know, we're going to end up regretting that. I mean, putting your kid in front of Miss Rachel unquestioningly, you just let her be the definition of a mom. Is, you can, like, she's just oozing informed archetype. Her archetype, her type, the mom character she has, you can just feel it. And there's just some weird edge to it where you can feel the,
I read many scientific journals about the perfect way to calibrate your voice to sound the most maternal, and this is the decibel level, this is the timbre, and this is the note. You have to hit a C negative at a decibel level of 96 in order for a child to smile.
It feels like that. It feels like a fucking, like an alien has figured out how to hack babies' brains and is now selling that as a entertainment package for you. For you put it in front of your baby's like hypnotized. And I the videos I see of these babies, I don't want my baby to be touched like that. It feels like they're getting molested by the TV. I'd rather my baby watch porn than watch Ms. Rachel. Actually, maybe not. That's kind of intense. But actually, porn would be fine because they don't know what that is yet. And they would just kind of not even watch it. They'd be like, ugh, what the fuck is that? Until they got old enough, then that'd be child abuse, basically. But Ms. Rachel, I'd rather my kid watch that movie Snatch, where, you know, Brad Pitt's that guy, the Roma guy who boxes and stuff. Yeah, Doug, that guy. I'd rather my baby watch that with the guns blazing, something exciting, than Ms. Rachel. Because Ms. Rachel is, she's sugar. She's sugar, lock, stock. Snatch is at least like, I don't know, what is Snatch? Bag of chips? Who knows? What am I saying? I don't know. I think we just need to chill with Ms. Rachel, especially now because now she's like up there with Labubu. Ms. Rachel, Labubu dolls, it's just a trend. And people are just, they just fucking eat it. They just eat it up. Like hungry, hungry hippos. I don't get what's going on. Don't let your kid watch Ms. Rachel. I mean, don't. What, go be a mom, you retard. Go be a mom. You talk to her like that. You do it because it's your voice and you want her to be into your, not Ms. Rachel. What, you know what, Ms. Rachel, they're like, you don't even know if they're doing some Manchurian candidate shit with this fucking bitch. Like, all of a sudden, when you're not looking, your head's turned. She's like, can you say mama? Mama? And then you look away and she's like, can you say Hamas? Can you say death to the infidels? I don't know. I don't know if she's like that. She's pro-Palestine, but that, I'm just, you know, I'm fucking joking. I don't care. I don't have an opinion about the Middle East crisis, okay? That thing is insane. I don't know what to think about it. I mean, I do. I do think we should not kill babies, but, you know, that's not really a strong stance. That's kind of a no shit opinion. But anyway, there is so much going on in the world, and I just ranted about Ms. Rachel, but I just really feel like you gotta just watch it. Dude, watch it with that lady, okay? Because, I don't know, I feel like she's gonna end up in some picture with her and Epstein is gonna surface or something. How do you know? Miss Rachel, listen, she can be a really nice lady now. But what happens when she needs to get her car detailed? She can't afford it. What happens when her expenses, when her lifestyle appetite, her appetite, her expense account starts to exceed her income? Well, she starts taking some money under the table for certain things, you know, starts trying to be like, can you say mommy, I have ADHD. Can I have big pharma pills, please? And then your kid just going up to you asking for Adderall. And you're like, where did you even learn that word? And Ms. Rachel's on the screen. Can you say Adderall? Right? Okay. I'm just saying. I think it's creepy. Everybody should just homeschool. That's what I think. It's not even like we're in the same... It's kind of like with abortion, right? It's... People keep going, oh, abortion, don't ban it. I don't even think you can ban abortion at this point. The technology we have available makes it so you could just mail anything. There's probably a YouTube video out there showing women how to throw themselves down a flight of stairs at just the right angle to have a miscarriage. There, you cannot. Back in the day, the arguments were different. There was a different situation. People were like, you got to legalize abortion because women are having back alley abortions in their kitchens over the sink with some fucking guy who calls himself a doctor, and he just shows up with a fucking wire hanger and some medical license in his wallet that looks like it was glued together from various components. And you just kind of go, and then they're just bleeding out in their bathrooms. That's bad. Let's have the legalization. And now we've gone beyond. It's not even up to government anymore. If you were to try to crack down on abortion, dude, it's practically, you would just, every woman would just end up in jail. That's it. Every woman just gonna end up in jail. That's all that's going to happen. And... it's kind of like that. It's what the fuck was I even talking about? I don't even remember what the fuck I was comparing that to. I'm not even gonna call people are like mom brain. It's not mom brain. I was like this before. It's nice to be able to blame something though. That's nice. Before I was trying to figure out a way to fit in ADD or something, but now I can just say mom brain and people just go, oh, you're retarded, but it's for the greater good. So that's great. But yeah, Ms. Rachel's creepy. Abortion. I was gonna say something else, but I forgot. But anyway, that's kind of all the time I have. Anyway, I gotta go back to this baby, and I was trying to challenge myself not to say the words right and you know for this whole episode, and I don't think I succeeded because once I get going, once I start ranting, it all goes out the window. I don't give a shit. It's just passion, pure passion. Passion. So did the best I could, and I hope you enjoyed yourself this episode. I'm gonna do two episodes this week. I'm gonna start like a double two episodes a week situation because I can't go out as much anymore, so I need to go talk to somebody. So I might as well go talk to myself in this, you know, and to you. So I'll just do that. Maybe I'll have some comedians over for guests and some other people. But anyway, that's my plan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in for later this week for the next episode of the Melissa Diaz Report. And yeah, as always, thanks and goodbye.